just one more show here in San Diego before Ben and Woods goes live from Peoria, Arizona next week.
Oh, boy. My first spring training, by the way.
I heard you say that yesterday.
It's amazing.
Where did I hear you say that?
Probably our meeting.
Right, that was at the meeting.
Yes.
I don't think that was on the air.
No.
It was at our meeting yesterday.
It's embarrassing almost.
Ben, you've been to the Peoria Sports Complex,
yeah.
The fantasy camp.
Played on those fields.
Years. That's what actually worries me, is that you're going to feel like you're allowed to go places that you're not allowed to go to because you were allowed to go during fantasy camp.
In my mind, I feel like I'm going to be able to go in see my buddy Ricky and get treatment in the morning after the show.
Totally off limits.
Are you sure?
Like, there's three more off-limits areas you'd have to get through to get to that off-limits area.
I have a locker in the locker room.
Yeah, you don't
room.
Anymore. It's gone.
Paul has one.
Your jerseys will not be hanging.
Well, this
sucks.
You can't
go in and eat. It's not going to be the
same.
Can
I not have breakfast there every day? No. I don't know if I like this.
Used to do it back in the day. I've done it a few times. Maybe we're the flagship. It's different. But I haven't.
I doubt it.
I haven't eaten there a long time. So just be careful. Just don't feel like you have the run of the place.
Well, don't tell me what to do.
Assume you can't go there.
I'm bringing my glove.
That would be fair.
I'm bringing my glove. Maybe Scan will throw with me.
We'll see. Let's go out to our SDCCU fan hotline. Joining us, he's already out in Peoria, Arizona. Dugout reporter for Fox Sports San Diego and Padres insider Bob Scanlon with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Tall drink of water. Scan, good morning.
Good morning, guys, and I'd love to play catch with you, but you've got more sway around here than I do. I never had a locker in the Padres club. I'm not a big league clubhouse, but, you know, your jersey's hanging up over there, ready to go right now. They're polishing your shoes.
I wish.
Especially after your previous performances, man. They're looking for you to come back.
Scan, you have no idea how much I wish that were true. You just have no idea. I will be bringing my glove. Ben has been making fun of me. I'm going to have a catch with somebody. If it's you, great. I'm in. I'd love to throw. I'd love to sling it around with Scan. Sling it with Scan.
Well, I'll have to borrow a catcher's glove from Hedgie or something.
I mean, I throw 68 miles an hour.
I mean, and like, try to throw it over his head.
Well, we're both big targets, though, so that'd be good.
Bob, what's your initial impression? What's the feeling out there at Peoria right now under new manager Jace Tingler?
You know, it's been great, and it always is in spring training, right? I've not been with a team yet where you go to spring training and they don't expect to be doing well, no matter what the pundits may say or what the stats from last year may say. But clearly, there's a different expectation here in spring training, and I think the combination of things. First of all, as you mentioned, we've got a new manager, we've got some new coaches, and I'll talk about them in just a moment. But first, just some of the new faces with the players, and you know, having Tommy Pham here and just a different sense of, look, this is our time. And from what everything I've heard and talking to players, that's been sort of the mode. It's like, look, in the past, we've talked about it. It's time to stop talking. It's time to start doing. It's sort of the attitude and the atmosphere. And I think, guys, honestly, as much as we were frustrated about what happened at the end of the second half last year, I think the players were even more frustrated. And I get a sense that they were really – they're pissed about what happened last year, and they don't want that to happen again. And I think there's a different fire. So as much as that was frustrating last year, if that provides that motivation to say, hey, that's not going to happen again, and we're going to be getting after it right from the get-go, then maybe that's a good thing that happened last year. So far, it's been fun to watch, and it's been a great environment in camp.
We're talking to Bob Scanlon, Padres broadcaster, here on Ben and Woods this morning. And Scan, any fundamental differences that you've noticed from camp last year to this one? Is it a different... Is it, you know, is Jace Tingler, how different is he than Andy Green? Are the camps pretty much the same?
You see a lot of the same drills, but they're done a little bit differently. And I will say that there's two things that, well, three things actually that are a little bit different. And it's all in the coaching staff, Bobby Dickerson, Wayne Kirby, and Jace himself. So the first infield practice that I saw, Jace Tingler puts himself in the batter's box and has the pitchers throwing him a pitch, and he's hitting live balls to guys, you know? I mean, so he's in there, and after the guy makes the play, he's yelling and screaming, "Attaway, way to go. Hey, no, we got to get over on that play. You got to hustle a little bit more." So he's been very interactive, not only vocally, but physically involved in the workouts, and I think that's fun. It's fun to see him in his element. You know, we've gotten a chance to see him at press conferences and at various Padres events, but to really see him in his element, which is on a field teaching guys how to play the game properly, it's been really fun to watch. And then I mentioned Bobby Dickerson and Wayne Kirby as well, and both of them are also very vocal. Wayne Kirby, he's that guy that's just talking every single minute, you know, and jabbing at guys a little bit, but having some fun and just trying to keep it loose and keep the energy going. And Bobby Dickerson, on the other hand, he's the accountability guy. He's the new coach. He spent some time in Baltimore with Manny and Philadelphia last year, but he doesn't mess around, and he's not afraid to challenge guys and push them to be more than they've been. And I think there's a balance there, because when you're pushing big leaguers, they've got to know that you're doing it for the right reasons. You're not doing it because you feel like it's your job and, hey, I'm just going to make a point and I'm going to get into our highest paid player's face just because I got to show myself to be the man. No, he resonates with these guys that he wants them to be better. The reason he's doing it is out of love, and he's challenging them and giving them some hard love sometimes. But he's good at that, and I think that's what this team needs, and I think guys are responding well to it so far.
Bob, did you witness the Mackenzie Gore versus Manny Machado live batting practice yesterday? And if so, any takeaways from that head-to-head battle?
Oh, you know, I don't put much into those types of, you know, it's not a September matchup, you know, where both guys are at the top of their game. And
even if it was, you know, it's just one at-bat, that, you know, smallest of sample sizes.
I don't really care what the hitters are doing at this point, because they are so far behind. You know, they're seeing them pitching for the first time, and they're just trying to get their timing down. So, you know, maybe some people want to make a big deal of it. I personally don't. I'm watching the pitchers more in terms of, are they locating, especially a young guy like Gore, who's there to make an impression, there to make a team. Is he spotting his fastball? How's his breaking ball? Does he look like he's rushing because the butterflies are there and he's trying to show off? And, you know, all the normal things that we see sometimes out of young guys. He has poise. He was not flustered at all. This kid threw great. He had great command. He looked like he was in charge. He looks like he belongs. And that's what you want to see out of your young players. And I think that so far he's off to a great start. And, you know, we've always known that he's got those smooth mechanics, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. But even more beautiful is watching how he's able to locate that fastball. And he threw a couple of really good changeups yesterday that had not just, you know, Manny, but some of the other guys out in front as well. And actually, that's what I'm looking at in terms of the matchups here in the early part, is the other young players going against young players, because those guys are ready to show up and play, you know, play some hardball. But he looked great. And, you know, I mean, a lot of talk about him making the team out of spring. I don't know that that needs to happen. Last year, I think there was a need more for Chris Paddock to make the team. This year, I think there's so much depth that hopefully there's not a need to do that, and this kid doesn't get rushed unnecessarily. Now, if he kicks the door in, hey, more power to him. But there's not going to be a pressure for him to do that.
We are talking to Bob Scanlon, and he is getting us. I'm fired up. Like, I cannot wait. And how great is it, too, for Padre fans and, you know, broadcasters, radio hosts, whatever. There's like 10, 12 guys to look at, to scout, that you have to. You know, we were kind of making our list yesterday of the guys we wanted to talk to when we were out there. And the list just kept going and going. There's so many new faces. And like Tommy Pham, like, I have to meet Tommy Pham. I have to. I got to talk to Bobby Dickerson. I got to talk to all these new faces. But it's different. There's so many guys out there. Let me ask you this, Ken. Is there anybody that you've seen, and I know it's a really, you know, short time, anybody that has kind of blown you away with their hustle, their work ethic, the sound of the ball coming off the bat, the sound when it hits the mitt, anybody maybe a little under the radar that we haven't talked about?
Well, I'll tell you, and it's not because of the way the ball is coming off the bat or any of the other stuff that you mentioned. It's more just the approach. Trent Grisham, who's the young kid that we just got over from Milwaukee in the trade with Zach Davies, his approach. Here's a guy, again, we talked about trying to make that first impression, and guys oftentimes trying to do too much and showing off and getting away from what they fundamentally need to do to prepare themselves. He's not falling into that trap at all. I really enjoyed watching his batting practices, which are very disciplined. They're not thrilling, but they're just so measured, and it's so obvious that he has an idea of what he's trying to do, short striding, keeping his hands inside. You know, he's working the ball opposite field. And I just felt like, okay, this kid gets it. He is not here to try to show off. He is trying to here to get himself ready, and I think that that's one of the guys that I think he can be a difference maker on this team this year, covering some time in center field and the other outfield positions. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. You know, this kid Gettis that they've talked about, the outfielder, he can absolutely run the ball down. He might be one of the best outfielders that I've seen in a long time in terms of his ability to eat up real estate. So And he had some great at-bats in the cage the other day as well. So it's been fun to watch him. And the other kid, Commonwealth, who and I'm not even sure I pronounced his name properly, but this kid that plays infield and pitches.
Cronenworth, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't know what to expect. I thought, okay, maybe he can pitch a little bit. Maybe he can play a little bit of infield. It's kind of unique. He can play the infield. He made some plays the other day on the backfield that had everybody shaking their heads and like, holy smokes, how did he get to that ball? So he's a really exciting guy as well in terms of a guy that we might see it during the season both ways.
This isn't a Christian Bethencourt experimental situation. This is an actual two-way player.
This is like a Ohtani type thing where he's legit on both sides. He's throwing 96 on the mound, and he can pick it on the infield. So it's been fun to watch.
I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. I can't stand that guy, man.
Guys that are more talented than us.
Just insane. It's not fair.
Talking to Bob Scanlon. Go ahead, Bob.
I mean, yeah, no, just you got that. And then also, Michelle Baez looked great the other day. It was great to watch Garrett Richards throw on his bullpen. Munoz was firing 100 easy the other day. So everywhere you turn now, you feel like, hey, there's the glove popping. You know, Will Myers has been doing a great job of using the opposite field, which you know he needs to do, just watching him BP. So I just feel like guys are getting their work in, and they're doing it in a healthy way and in a constructive way. And there's been a great energy in camp. So far, all's good, guys.
I'm fired up.
Bob, let me ask you, because you know, you played the game. You were in those big league clubhouses. The Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal that's been going on. The reaction from players. Yesterday, Giancarlo Stanton said, hey, if I knew it was coming, I'd hit 80 home runs in a season.
He would have, actually, in that year.
From a pitcher's perspective, knowing the impact it could have on careers of young pitchers to go against guys who knew what was coming, what's been your reaction, first of all, to the revelations that came out, and secondly, to kind of the response by players from around the league?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think we all know that everybody's sort of looking for the edge. And as much as that was going on with the PED era, I feel like this is even more controversial amongst players themselves, which is really interesting. And you get it because most of these guys, I mean, what's the different level of cheating, right? Like you had PEDs, that was cheating. This seems to be something that's on a different level of cheating that's really getting under guys' skin, even more than the PED thing did. It's interesting, and I think it's fascinating. Anybody, I thought it was incredible that Jim Crane was saying that this didn't really affect anything.
Crazy.
Like, well, then why are you doing it? If it doesn't affect anything, then why are guys trying to do it? Why do they spend so much time, you know, trying to pick off signs and everything? So there have been some inconsistencies, and obviously it's creating a lot of controversy in the game right now. But there's no doubt that it can make a difference. And look, you know, there's a lot of guys that are getting a lot of the signs, and if not through nefarious means. Let's give some credit, too, to some of these guys that are just amazing sign stealers. I know there have been coaches that were brought into organizations simply because they were so good at doing that, picking off the manager's signs to his third base coach, picking off the third base coach's signs to the hitters. And so it's always been a part of the game. There's always been a certain element that guys have been able to do. It's the Astros took it to a more nefarious level.
Well, they,
you know, it's unfortunate. So.
They did, and it's funny, you know. I mean, I've had a lot of people reach out and say, well, you know, the Yankees, Red Sox with the Apple Watch and all that scan, and you know, those guys were cheating too. And it's my thing was, no one talked more about how they did things the right way than the Houston Astros. Nobody, you know, they were always on a pulpit. They were all, you know, A.J. Hinch saying, ah, it's a joke and all that. That to me is what struck me. It's the lack of contrition, and I still feel like there's just a major lack of contrition with that organization, and it starts with their owner, and it's trickled all the way down to the players. Josh Reddick came out yesterday and says, "Oh, don't worry, you'll see, we'll be back." Like, and I understand you kind of have to say that, but it's just the lack of contrition. They don't, in my mind, they don't seem like they feel they did anything wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you, and truthfully, I don't want to go into a whole lot of detail about it and start, you know, taking sides or whatever, but it's unfortunate, and I just hope that we can kind of push it away, to be honest with you, because there's so many other exciting things that are going on with the game, and especially here in San Diego, that, you know, you don't want to get distracted by that stuff, and there's been a lot of talk about there's going to be tons of retaliation during the season, and everybody's going to get hit on their team, and so I'm hoping there's not a whole lot of that either, because I don't know how constructive that's going to be. And most of the guys that are on the Astros now, I think there's only 10 players that are still there from the 2017 ball team. So you're going to start plunking guys
right.
that weren't even a part of that mess. So, hey, like I said, we know it went on in 1951. It went on again in 2017. There's always going to be guys that are looking for an edge. That's part of why they are type A personality athletes on the field. There's always going to be guys looking for the edge, and you hope that they try to keep it within the rules.
Bobby's sticking around in Peoria for a little while, or are you on the shuttle
back? I'm
here
the whole time.
Oh, great. Okay, we'll see you out there next week then.
You're coming out next week?
Yeah, we're coming out Monday, Sunday. Tuesday, Wednesday. Sunday night, be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, doing our show live from the back patio there.
That's awesome. Well, I'll find a catcher's glove, and I'll be ready for you guys.
I will be ready. That's all I needed. I will be bringing my glove.
Bob Scanlon. Thanks, Ian. Bob Scanlon.
Come on.
On the SDCCU Fan Hotline, San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U. Or visit sdccu.com. And speaking of the Houston Astros scandal, dumbest idea ever to try to make this right came out yesterday in my mind. We'll let you know what that is next. Ben Woods, right now let's get a check of traffic at 97.3 The Fanners. Kelly Danick. If you're listening, whoa.
Sing it back, whoa.
Thanks again to Scan. There's Brian tweets me. Don't think I've ever heard anyone call Hey Scan Bob before Ben Higgins, keeping it formal on a Thursday morning. Well, I can call him Robert.
Robert Scanlon.
Robert Scanlon in
He's
Peoria.
Scan, it's like Woodsy. I'm Woodsy.
I
You don't call me usually, Steven.
No, but I usually call him Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
What's new? I don't know. Scan is Scan's his professional nickname.
Is that an oxymoron?
Not really.
No, all right.
No, I mean,
I guess it makes sense.
His Twitter handle.
It is Hey Scan. Yeah.
I just was always introduced, like the first time I met you, you said everyone calls me Woods or Woodsy. So
yep.
That's what I learned right away.
Yeah. I mean, our show also is called Ben and Woods. So
it was, but this was before our show was called anything.
Not Ben and Steve.
We didn't even have a show.
We didn't.
That's a whole story. We told that one about trying to decide what the show is going to be named.
Oh, did we? I don't even remember. I blocked this out.
We sat. There was a meeting. What are we going to call the show?
I don't remember any of this.
And we kind of thought about it. And Higgins and Woods, Woods and Higgins, Ben and Steve, Steve and Ben, some sort of clever, we could come up with some other name entirely. And I think one of us just said, I'm Ben, he's Woods, it's Ben and Woods.
Yeah, Ben and Woods.
But then the thought was, well, that's weird. One of you, it's a first name for one of you, and the last name for the other. That doesn't make any sense. That's going to mess with people's minds. They're not going to understand that it's a first and a last name. That's what we're called. People call me Ben, people call him Woods.
Yes, my whole life.
So let's just keep it simple.
Yes. I don't remember this meeting. I really don't.
You don't?
No, I've done a lot of narcotics over the years, Ben, so...
Another station, another lifetime again.
Indeed.
So I mentioned a dumb idea. I don't even understand this idea. Censuring the Houston Astros.
Explain censuring.
I was hoping you could do the same for me. In like politics, it's like a formal action. Congress can censure the president. I mean, without impeaching, it's basically like a slap on the wrist. It's a formal disapproval. That goes on the record that you are disagreeing or disapproving of what someone else did. Censure. But it's not, there's no jail time or anything involved. It's not a punishment other than really a formal statement of disapproval, basically. We don't need that anymore. That's not going to do anything at this point. We all know everyone disapproves of what the Astros did. I don't think, that's the World Series title that was censured. No, I mean, it's either a World Series title or it's not. And at this point, I think it would be best for everyone if it was not a World Series title. And 2017 was just vacant. No World Series champion stripped from the Astros or voluntarily relinquished by the Astros in the wake of their sign-stealing scandal. No one is going to honor the Astros in years to come. Censuring does nothing to save this story, to rehabilitate Rob Manfred's reputation and how he's handled all of this. It's just another dumb idea that's come out of this incredibly never-ending story that it's just not going away.
You know, what's interesting is I saw Jeff Passan on yesterday on MLB Network, And do you know what he said that a player in the Astros locker room told him? I wish they would have just suspended me. It would make their lives easier. If those players were suspended, this goes away. It goes away. It's time served. You know, honestly, what's really pissing off all of the other players is there's no punishment for a player-driven initiative. None. None of the players got punished. And to have an Astro player say, I wish they would have just suspended me.
Given the choice between suspension, say like 80-game suspension, losing half of your salary. So if you're making $10 million, losing $5 million, suspended for half the season, or not being suspended but getting stripped of the World Series title, which do you think most players would choose if it was choose your own punishment?
It's a great question. I mean, imagine, though, like, those guys are players. You play. You want to play. Losing 80 games of really just not being able to play is a gnarly, gnarly punishment. It's really – it's very effective.
That's why I think a lot of them would choose just take the ring back.
The
let's go win another one. Let's win another legit
Let's
one.
Prove we can
Let me
do
have
it.
A chance on the field to prove that I can do this. If I'm suspended, I can't prove anything. It's a lost season. I'm not out there. I give back the rings. Let me go out and win another one and quiet everyone. That's the one way you can do it and say, you know what? Prove that we did anything wrong this time. Go out and win another one. So I would say, again, that's why I just give back the ring and trophy at this point if I'm the Astros. Go out, give this one back, go out and win another one. It would be the ultimate response, the only response that could save this for the Houston Astros. Give back this one, go out and win another one.
Yeah, I mean, I fundamentally agree. I don't think they would ever voluntarily give that thing back in their minds. As I just mentioned to Scan, they kind of, a lot of them are really dug in and don't think that, you know, they did anything wrong. They just got caught. Right? Like, they're like, yeah, everybody would have done it if they were as smart as we were. We just got caught, and that sucks.
Who's baseball's all-time home run king?
Barry Bonds.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people would say Hank Aaron.
I know.
So who won the 2017 Houston Astros, or World Series?
The Astros won it.
Or did they? I mean, you can perceive however you want.
Yeah.
You can make your own judgment on this. And some people will say, no, they didn't win it. They didn't earn it.
I mean, it's always
some people say Barry Bonds didn't win it.
There's always going to be an asterisk. Asterisk.
The Houston
asterisk.
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 That's the word.
Never been able to say that word.
Not an asterisk.
People say asterisk. I bet Hammer says asterisk. He just shrugs.
He doesn't even attempt that one.
Asterisk. Asterisk. Can never say it properly. So, but at any rate, how wild is that to have a player tell Jeff Passan, I wish to God they would have just suspended me? Because I think there's also that fear that they have of, you know, the travel, the going into the opposing stadiums. You know, they're talking about extra security for Mike Fiers this year. Like, it's going to be crazy. A lot of people went after Astros' wives and stuff. They're clapping back on Twitter. It's not going away. It's not going away by a long stretch. So it is just a really crazy time for those guys right now. And to have one say, just suspend me. Give me, you know, let me sit out my punishment. And then everybody will leave me alone because I got punished.
Woods, I would love to maybe bring back a little of Jay Billis from earlier in the show talking about the Aztecs. We still have AJ Cassavell's week one observations from Padres camp and setting the stage. We got a podcast to record today. Our latest, everyone sits around, watches the same movie.
Yes.
And gives from our different perspectives a classic from the sports world. So we'll discuss what's in the film room today. And wrap everything up coming up next with Ben and Woods right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Ben and Woods. Last segment on a Thursday. We got a Friday show tomorrow. Always have fun on Fridays.
Always fun on Fridays.
And then we jet off to Peoria, Arizona for three shows next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from Padres spring training. It's going to be fun. First time I've traveled with you guys. You've gone without me.
I have.
But
me and Paulie.
But we've never done it together as a show. We'll miss Hammer.
I wish the Hammer was coming. Come on, man. I wish he could come out.
Hammer did tell me, though, that the biggest fan did not call in. So it is time to steal the prize for all the Tier 1 listeners out there. If you want to qualify to win that trip to Las Vegas to see Shania Twain at Planet Hollywood, two-night stay dinner at Cafe Hollywood, fifth caller right now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Call in and win. We'll see who wins right after we check traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. Boom, 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 boom. Now tell me what you're gonna do, but it ain't nowhere to run. When judgment comes for you, when judgment comes for you, what you gonna do? Boneless.
Boneless Thugs in Harmony. Such a jam.
I freaking love this song.
They're so good. They're really, it's like, it's very different. Ben, first time hearing Boneless Thugs in Harmony?
Probably. I think my brother really liked them.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he listen to rap?
A little bit. More than I did, for sure.
They are so good.
They're very fast. Very fast.
Oh, they are.
Just play this for the next 16 minutes.
I know. I'm in.
Who was that, rapper that did the... That Informer song, you couldn't understand anything. It was
Snow.
So fast, you
he was
couldn't
horrible.
Understand any of the words
Informer.
At all.
Yeah. Snow. Guy was such a chode.
The snow, the Wood Snow impression was the impression I didn't know I needed until now. Ben and Woods brought to you by Land Rover. Take every journey to the next level. During the Own the Adventure sales event happening now until March 31st, visit your San Diego County Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport, Land Rover Above and Beyond. We'll be recording. Now, Hammer doesn't get to go to Peoria, but he does get to be part of our Woods and Ben podcast.
Yeah, buddy.
After the show today.
Excited for this one.
We will be discussing our latest film selection, White Men Can't Jump.
Correct.
Which I had never seen in my life until last night.
Oh, Billy! I can't believe you lost the money.
So good. What'd you think?
Well, that's what the podcast is for. I'm not
no
gonna
spoilers.
Share,
no
I'm
spoilers.
I'm gonna share all my thoughts.
Teaser?
Here.
Nothing?
Teaser.
I will say I did enjoy the movie.
Good.
Was not what I expected. Again, just like last podcast, the entry that we did the last time of Private Parts was better and not exactly what I expected.
Yeah, the only bad movie we've watched so far has been Hammer's selection of The Longest Yard, the remake.
Which sucks is because none of you guys took it seriously from the get-go.
We did.
Pretty sure you guys didn't even watch it.
I watched it.
You guys all watched it and just did the podcast by memory.
It means I took it incredibly seriously.
I watched it.
I don't believe you.
It was really bad.
It was not bad.
It's really bad.
No. It's a great movie. Probably the greatest.
It's not even close.
It's my favorite.
What are all these people calling for?
The biggest fan, but I think Hammer already gave it out. So.
I've already handled it.
Yeah.
I've told these
people. Sorry, everybody.
All right. They keep calling.
They keep trying. They want to get into the prize. That's fine. I understand that.
Hammer, the problem with your pick was it's just not a good football movie.
Right.
Now, if you wanted to pick as a generational defining movie, Adam Sandler's a great call.
Yes.
It's just, that's not the movie. You should have gone, Happy Gilmore,
oh,
Billy
so
Madison.
You guys get to make my picks for me.
Correct.
Oh,
we made this one for Ben.
Oh, I didn't know how that went.
The Waterboy would have been a football-related Adam Sandler movie. You could have chosen.
Correct.
Oh, my bad. Sorry for picking my favorite movies. I completely thought that's the way
this
was
going.
Yeah,
it's not pick our favorite movie.
And then generational, I don't understand how my thing didn't hit the generation. Yeah, it just happened to hit both of the things. Generation, boom.
And your favorite movie.
And my favorite. But whatever. Thanks.
That's fine.
For nothing.
Yeah. Anyway.
First and foremost,
Jay Billis joined us earlier this morning in our 6 o'clock hour. I invite you, if you want to listen to the whole thing, you can go back on the radio.com app. Rewind anything you missed. You missed my story about running out of gas on the freeway at 12:15 yesterday. Rewind to 7:03 a.m. You'll get that entire story for you. But if you did miss it, I wanted to bring back just a little bit of Jay Billis because I really felt an opportunity of having one of ESPN's most significant voices on college basketball. I mean, really, Jay Billis has the largest platform on the largest network covering college basketball in this country to say what he thinks. And those people who are in that committee room, whether they like it or not, they watch ESPN, they listen to Jay Billis, and if he says San Diego State is better than Gonzaga. Some people are going to listen. So I wanted to see if we could convince. I know Jay already likes the Aztecs, but we got the actual his thoughts on San Diego State basketball this morning.
But to your point about San Diego State, like, San Diego State's legit. Like, they are really, really good. And they can, you know, they've got guys. I mean, I watched their game against Boise State really closely and then watched the tape of it again afterwards. And, man, there's a loose ball. Matt Mitchell gets them all. And they're diving on the floor, on the road. They don't take anything for granted. It seems like everyone on the team has not only accepted and embraced a role, but they are stars in their roles. Like KJ Fagan, you know, hunts shots and never hesitates. He catches the ball to shoot it. And if the defense takes the shot away, then he makes a read and adjusts to it. And, you know, Yanni Wetzel is really good and looking for offense. And I'm very impressed with everybody and how they play their particular roles. And Malachi Flynn's an NBA player. He's an NBA player. The only thing I would say that they've got an issue with is with the way they switch when they get in the NCAA tournament and they get against, you know, they get in the second weekend. There are going to be teams that are going to put Wetzel in ball screens. And if they switch, they're going to attack him. If he gets in any kind of foul trouble, that's a problem. But everybody's got that. There's nobody – I don't think there's a team out there that you can say, okay, well, yeah, they can lose their big guy, you know, to fouls. That's not an issue. But I do think it's a vulnerability on a team that hasn't shown very many. And I can't imagine a scenario unless they lose two games where they're not going to be a number one seed.
So Jay Billis – clearly doesn't have many reservations about San Diego State. He said even if they lose once,
yeah,
he still thinks they're a number one seed. So Aztecs are feeling pretty good right now about that. But what about that comparison between San Diego State and Gonzaga? I tried to lay it out. Gonzaga's wins aren't that good. North Carolina turned out to be terrible this year. Arizona, fringe top 25 team. Oregon is, yeah, they're all right. They're like top 15, but no better than like a Creighton or even in Iowa, who San Diego State has beaten, and BYU now into the top 25. Is it possible that San Diego State has already passed Gonzaga in the minds of the NCAA Tournament Committee? Here's Jay Billis on that.
Yeah, that's fair. I think you have to get down to which team you think is better. And I think Gonzaga is a little bit better of an offensive team. They're a little bit deeper. I think they still have close to seven guys that average in double figures, so they can score in a variety of ways, and they're a little bit better on the interior, I think, than San Diego State. But San Diego State's better defensively, much better defensively. And I think the best case scenario for both Gonzaga and San Diego State is that they wind up 1-2 in the West. Honestly,
Brian Dutcher would agree with you.
Yeah, if I were on the committee, that's what I would endeavor to do. Is to have them, you know, they're always talking about they want to keep teams in their natural regions, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, you got a chance now. Put San Diego State and Gonzaga 1-2 in the West and let them both be in their natural regions when both their fan bases can get there to see them and then travel out. Like, I think I'm a big believer that, especially with mid-major programs, that sort of the baseball concept of tie goes to the runner should be in effect. And that is, if it's a close call, you do what's in the best interest of the mid-major. And look, I think when it's a clear-cut call, you put the best team in that position. But when it's a close call, when it's a tie, then you give the little guy the leg up in that, and let the big guy fight their way out of it. Because I don't think it's that big of a deal, and especially when it's regarding this sort of regional stuff. I think if we've made the determination you want to keep teams closest to their natural region, then do it. And make the moneyed elites travel a little bit more because they're used to it. That shouldn't be that big of a deal.
Just like real or fake, give the tie goes to the little guy.
Yeah.
Make the big guy fight his way out of it. You'd be the big guy in this scenario. But, Jay Billis says, if San Diego State wants to be in the West, don't make them go east just to be a one seed. Brian Dutcher would undoubtedly say, "Yeah, I'd rather be a two in the West than a one in the East," and he'd be right. They you know, not that San Diego State can't travel. They've won all their games on the road as well this year. It's going to be an easier path to the Final Four, staying in Southern California in front of probably 8,000 or more screaming Aztecs fans, as opposed to maybe a few hundred fans who can travel across the country to Madison Square Garden for a game in New York that same weekend.
Jordan Dixon Reed tweets in, Ben. He says, saying Oregon is as good as Creighton. Let me know the SDSU win that is comparable. Go Oregon beating Michigan. I think he's meant to Oregon beating Michigan in Michigan. Well, you can only, I mean, you can only, you play who's on your schedule and you beat the crap out of all of them. That's all you can do,
it's
right?
BYU in BYU?
BYU at BYU?
Yeah. And Creighton is ranked 15th. Oregon is ranked 14th right now in the top 25.
There you
go. It's pretty comparable.
Fairly comparable, I would
say. In terms of wins and losses. You know, to me, it's not. There's a very slight difference between those teams. We'll have more, obviously, on the Aztecs going forward. I wanted to pass it along, though, a little news about one of our friends in the broadcasting world, Matt Vaskirjian, former Padres broadcaster, who was kind of in limbo on the ESPN Sunday night booth. They had already decided that Jessica Mendoza wasn't going to return. She's working for the New York Mets now.
Indeed.
I believe.
I think she lost that gig too.
Did she?
I it was weird what happened.
I believe she did.
Yeah. So I don't know what she's up to now.
A-Rod,
I think she's doing like other broadcasting stuff, just not Sunday night
baseball. A-Rod was expected to come back. They weren't sure who was going to replace Jessica Mendoza. They weren't sure if Matt Vaskirjian was going to return to the ESPN Sunday night booth. Well, ESPN just announced their announcer lineups, and the Sunday night booth will be Matt Vaskirjian, Alex Rodriguez, and that's it.
That's it.
Just the two-person booth again.
Okay.
Buster only going to be on the dugout sidelines.
How do we feel about that?
Like Matt Vaskirjian and A-Rod?
Yeah.
I think it works.
I think it's fine. It's fine.
I had nothing,
I
nothing against
B.
Jessica Mendoza. Thought she was fine. I think three people in a booth in baseball is a really hard...
It's great that you
dynamic.
Say that, Ben.
Since we're about to do a
because we're
booth.
About to do that on Tuesday, so that's cool. I just won't say anything, and you and Jesse, I probably won't say 10
I
words.
Think mostly it'll be either you and Jesse or me and you.
Not
we'll all be in there, but in terms of one of us is going to be doing Jesse and I, one of us will be doing play by play,
right?
And you're kind of chiming in. I don't know that all three of us will be talking all the time.
If I'm
not doing play by play, I'm not going to be saying a ton.
So you're going to do like the, here's the pitch.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I wouldn't even know where to start.
I'm hoping to get a Take Your Trot Franchi Cordero somewhere.
Oh, my God. Franchi Cordero, Take Your Trot. Holy cow.
Wouldn't that be amazing
be
if
incredible.
He launches one?
Yeah.
That's my dream.
That is the dream.
I still want to figure out if there's a setup for me to be the dugout reporter.
I don't think there is, but
I'll call in on a cell phone.
Well, Scan will be doing right? Don't they have...
Scan does the TV ones.
Oh, he does the TV one. Who does the radio side?
We don't really have a radio sideline. You're going to have to get Dave Marcus to set it up for you. That'll be the hardest part. The extra work that Dave Marcus will have to do to set anything up.
Are you kidding me?
Paul down on the sidelines. All right.
The Rhino Report.
All right. Here's Hosmer.
Yeah.
Be gone. All right. All right, guys, back to you. And me just sitting there, Ben and Jesse just, two broadcasters cracking it up. I'm not going to know what to say. I'm a wreck. You can sit in for me. I don't belong in that booth.
I've done SDSU baseball.
There you go.
By myself. That's not easy.
That is awful. Do you have tape of that? Because I want to hear it.
I do. Stop worrying.
You do?
So much.
Yeah. Oh, well. Why haven't you brought it yet?
You haven't asked for it.
I'm asking you now. We're going to play it tomorrow. Paul doing play-by-play.
I have sat right next to you.
You have it right now?
Give me a second.
Oh, for the love of
God.
Save
it for tomorrow. Tease it. This is a long tease
for
tomorrow.
Save it.
All right.
Save it.
As for you, Woods, I've sat next to you and watched baseball games many times.
I can't
do
curse,
that.
Though. I can't curse
just
in the booth.
Just change the word like you do on this show.
Oh, no. This guy just said I'm Booger McFarland.
That's too far.
Oh.
You did not deserve that.
Am I going to be Captain Obvious in there?
Can we put you in a little like
I just started sweating.
Like
I'm not joking.
Oh, can we put you on a little crane on an arm over the field?
I'm not joking. Dude, if you can feel my chest, I just started pouring sweat.
I can't wait to be on Twitter during the game just to see them.
Just me getting killed?
Oh, I'm going to be part of it.
It's ball three to Machado and the count runs full. Woods, well, You know, that means if the next pitch is a ball, he's going to walk, and if it's a strike, he's going to be out.
Please do
Should
that.
Should I do it as a bit? Should I be Captain Obvious Color Guy?
Give me an inning as Captain Obvious Color Guy.
I will be Captain Obvious Color Guy for an inning.
I can't wait. Do it with me, not Jesse.
All right, I'll do it with you. Captain Obvious. Yes. Now I'm comfortable. Doing bits, I'm very comfortable doing.
That's the idea. Let's have some fun with it.
I'm looking forward to discussing.
Don't do the whole game like that. Three and a half hours.
No.
I will literally walk out of the booth.
Captain Obvious.
One inning, yes. Captain Obvious for one inning.
Who incorporates who?
Double Secret Incorporator.
It's Double Secret Incorporator.
Double Secret Incorporator.
We have so many bits planned.
The game will be Jesse and I will each give each other a word before the game. Now, listeners won't know and you won't know.
Right.
And your job will be to try to guess during the game.
Okay.
Was that the word? And you'll go, you can like scream out, Incorporator!
So both of you clowns have big vocabularies and you're very fancy.
Oh, don't think that I won't be randomly throwing in non-incorporator words to try to mess you up.
I don't know. I still like the idea of listeners sending in words for you to do.
No, Jesse's going to give me the word. I'll give Jesse the word.
All right.
Double Secret Incorporator. So, yeah, we have some things.
What does
planned.
That do for the listener, though?
They're listening to see if you. They're listening along with you to try to guess what the word is.
But if you, who has a fancy vocabulary, if you're doing 17 of them, I feel like it loses its luster.
Jesse's going to make it so hard for me.
If
you know
Ben is like,
is.
Oh, Woods, you are punctilious in assuming that. And I'm like, Incorporated. You're like, nope. How many times can we do that?
I'd be the worst because I don't know what anything means. You use a word that's over five letters. Incorporator.
Oh, man, I'm excited for Captain Obvious, though. Really, really excited for that inning. The other eight innings, I'm worried. What if it goes extra? We got to stay, right?
They don't do extra.
They don't do any extra.
Sometimes they'll play a 10th. Okay. At most, game ends in a tie. This is spring training. Don't worry. We're not going 16.
Ties still
suck. Not going to be around there forever.
Oh, Lord, man. All right, I'm a wreck.
That'll be a Tuesday.
Booger McFarland, by the way.
You did not deserve
Thanks
that.
Thanks a lot, Gilbert.
1 o'clock Mountain, noon Pacific time here on the flagship station. 97.3 The Fan.
There's a good chance, too. I just panic and start doing it in, like, Boston accent the whole time. Like, just like.
You want to do an inning as a Boston analyst?
Yeah, ball four. Jerickson Profa. Just do the whole thing.
Jerickson.
Yeah, Jerickson. How you say this name? Jerickson Profa. Who knows? Who knows what you're going to hear? So I think that'd be a really. You're going to be listening to 97.3 The Fan all friggin' day. I'm telling you what. Just to hear us. You know, just to hear me soil myself.
Before that, we've got a Friday show tomorrow, all of our Friday features, including Ben Reed's Raps and everything else coming up. But that is it for us today, guys. That's good it. Show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We got a podcast to get to. That should be posting later today. Look for Woods and Ben. Follow our Twitter feeds and various social media accounts. Hammer, good job. Stick around. Off today, so doing the podcast next. Paul Reindl, executive producer. Great job as always. For Woods, I'm Ben. Jim Rome Show is coming up next.
It's Booger.
And then the leading afternoon
Ben and
teams,
Booger.
Ben Coach
and
John Quintero, Gwynn and Chris this afternoon. Stick around right here on 97.3 The Fan.